Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our home health provider update call for March 9th, 2023. I just wanted to say welcome and thanks for joining us again this month. I am going to be starting the agenda here, talking about some of our legislative action items and flop into managed care and reimbursement here. So first one is just a reminder that our Fridays from the State House, those are our weekly update calls that follow the previous week's legislative session activities. And so during those calls, we're kind of running down all the bills that have been moving that impact our folks in all of long-term care or any member of IHCA. And so during those calls at 10 o'clock on Fridays, we like to cover that. We end up recording those and putting those in our bulletin. So if you are interested in wanting to track what's been going on, that's a good call to be on. We usually keep it pretty short, around 20 minutes in length. So it's a good way to get an update of what's going on. Secondly, we have grassroots advocacy on the agenda here. Yesterday was our IHCA Day on the Hill and boot camp, grassroots boot camp. And so that was a day filled with an update of legislative priorities, legislative actions, and policy actions that have been occurring over the last several months since we created the agenda in July of 22. But a lot of activities surrounding those actions. We then bused about 100 people or so down to the Iowa Capitol. Mostly SNFs, but we ended up having a good chunk of home health members as well. And as part of those conversations, we were really focused heavy on funding and funding for the LUPA rate system, and then also for our waiver providers, an increase in funding similarly to what's been occurring the last couple of years. And just ongoing regular funding increases for waiver services. And so we focused in on funding for all three of our sectors and wanted to kind of keep the message concise and pretty tight. So kudos to those members who were able to join us on our calls there, or on our call to action of getting members to the Capitol and participating and having conversations with your legislators. So thanks for everyone for joining us. The next bullet we have is fly in to Washington, D.C. We are in the process of scheduling one of those. I know NOC has their D.C. fly in here at the end of the month. That has in the past, well, this year, that lines up exactly with when our spring quarterly is. So we're not able to necessarily coincide with that NOC D.C. trip. We will be scheduling one of those for our home health group. To go out likely sometime in the summer. We'd had conversations here recently about doing that visit before, but with some scheduling conflicts with members and with our congressional delegation, we're going to push that out a little bit further. But we'll be doing it. We'll be talking mostly about the problems associated with the final rule that went into place on 1-1 of 23 for home health, as well as some ways to improve the waiver experience and potential funding mechanisms for waiver, as well as some telehealth stuff. Will probably likely be the most common discussion points with our federal delegation. As far as MCO updates and onboarding, unfortunately, with yesterday's Day on the Hill event, we were unable to have our MCO call, which is usually helpful that it follows, this call follows that the day after, and we can have some discussions there. So we weren't able to have that call, but there is MCO onboarding going on right now. And with the addition of Molina on 7-1, they've started to redistribute some Iowa Medicaid recipients. They started that process on March 1st and will end that process, I think, on May 18th. And so that is the first wave of maneuvering people around and wave of allowing people to make an active choice of their MCO. So if you are assigned to a plan that you do not want to be a part of, during that time frame from March 1st until May 18th, you're able to make a selection or a change for any reason. And so members are encouraged to do that. They cut it off on May 18th because they need to have and know what kind of distribution they're going to have of members between all the different provider types and all the different waivers and all that going into a go live of 7/1. After 7/1 go live, Medicaid recipients then have 90 days again to make an active change. They just need that time frame from May 18th to July 1 to like get everyone inputted into the system and ready to roll. And so that's why there's that delay. But then again, they can make an active change for any reason for 90 days after July 1st. And then I think they call it good cause reason for any time frame after that. So EVV stakeholder sessions is the next item on the agenda here, and we have it linked in the agenda for you as well. They have been having or trying to have those calls on a monthly basis. The last one was definitely had some technical issues. They had some half the people on Zoom and half the people on Teams or something like that, and it was kind of a convoluted mess, honestly. So they ended up canceling that one, but the next one is scheduled for March 21st from 3 to 4. And so they had one in January, February's got canceled. They're going to have another one here in March where they're talking about that transition and hoping to get additional folks up to date and ready to go for EVV implementation 1/1 of 24. They really want people to be testing if at all possible. And we obviously understand some of the challenges that exist, especially if you are using your own EHR system and having to connect that with CareBridge and then any additional costs that you may have from your vendor to help comply with that. So we are advocating on your behalf to try to improve that process. Iowa is one of the few states that have a closed system where they are running it all through a single vendor, which is CareBridge. And so we're trying to advocate to explain that if we have a system in place already that can capture all the data, it would make sense that we'd be able to use that. So we are in the process of working on that, but those stakeholder sessions are monthly. And like I said, March 21st from 3 to 4 is your next opportunity. The link in the agenda does take you to a sign-up form. You can sign up for those through a DHS provided form, and you can, I think they sign you up actually for all of them when you do that. So they do have one every month. I'm gonna skip Julia's next item and go to my last item on the agenda here. But I talked briefly about LUPA funding before in our legislative section, but I'll talk about it here again. Obviously, there was an appropriation last year that was $1.77 million that went to rural-specific home health providers. As we've had conversations with the department over the summer and into the fall of last year, we were able to determine that about $3.2 million state share funds is needed to get all agencies up to 100% of LUPA. And so that is what our ask is going to be. And so there, luckily, our home health sector has had a little bit of momentum behind them, especially with the department's focus on transitioning folks into the community. I know we've had conversations over the past couple months on this call about DHS trying to expand availability of home health services. And so there would definitely be some support there from the department to try to push additional funds into this sector in order to help take on more people out in the community. And so that is just one of the efforts. And like I mentioned as well, with waiver rates, Many of you also provide some kind of waiver services, and so also obviously supporting another increase in that same range between, 3 to 4%. Obviously, the more the better, but within that same range is also a priority of the department to try to help, push and expand some of that availability of services and providers' ability to provide those services to members on waiver. So with that, I'm going to stop talking. Julie, I'm going to turn it to you. I see you have a several items here, starting with the CMS clarifies the telehealth reporting on home health claims.
Yes, thanks, Brandon. So CMS has clarified telehealth reporting on home health claims around the new G codes encounters. CMS has indicated that they do not want home health agencies to submit a claim if the only service provided were via telecommunications technology. This position is in line with CMS's policy that home health agencies are not to submit claims for payment periods without billable visits. So while CMS recognizes that some data may be lost, they balance that against the disruption and costs of changing a longstanding process. CMS will reconsider its position in the future after some experience with this data. Additionally, CMS issued change request 12805 that updates the Medicare claims processing manual and provides instructions to the MACs on reporting the new G codes for telehealth services on home health claims. The contractor shall return to the provider claims containing HCPCS code G320, 321, and 322 if there is not another line item on the claim with the same revenue code and a G HCPCS code other than G320, 321, or G322. The instructions required the MACs to include an edit that returned a claim to the provider if there was a G code for a telehealth service without an on-site visit for that same discipline reported on the claim. So they did get that clarified out there. And we'll skip down to the expanded home health value-based purchasing model resources feedback requested. So CMS is wants to give you the information that you need to be successful in this model. And so they're requesting feedback. So they're wanting to know, do the resources they're currently providing everybody across the country, is that meeting your needs? And what other topics do you want them to cover for resources? And they are seeking this feedback through March 31st. So if you haven't provided any and it's not meeting your needs, please let them know what would be more helpful. If what's currently in that library, and I can't see in there, they don't allow us folks and trade associations to see what's in those libraries. So I have no clue what you guys get to see and how robust it is. But if it is not meeting your needs, please fill that out and let CMS know what would be more helpful for your agencies to do better within the program. So you have through March 31st for that. Also want to let you know, if you click on the next link, CMS is going to be hosting a CY 2023 proposed the Home Health PPS Final Rule webinar. This will host an expert-led overview of the Home Health Prospective Payment System Final Rule. This will be on Wednesday, March 29th from Central Time. It'll be 12:30 to 2. It's going to focus on behavior changes, construction of 60-day episodes, and payment rate development for the calendar year 2023 Final Rule. And when you click on that, there will be a link where you can go out and register. I have registered for that, and if you can't attend that day and time, if you get registered, they should send you the link afterwards if you can't attend at that exact day and time. So I would encourage you to register for that, even if you can't be on at that particular time. Under quality and clinical, since we've met last, CMS did have an open door forum. And a couple of the takeaways from that, they talked about the home health consumer assessment of healthcare providers and systems, the home health caps. They reminded participants that agencies are eligible for an exemption from participating in this survey for the calendar year of 2024 for the annual provider update if you served 59 or fewer survey eligible patients between April 1st, 2021 and March 31st of 2022. The exemption form must be completed and submitted by March 31st. It can be found on the HCAHPS website. CMS noted that the exemption applies only to the patient census during the year that qualifies the agency for the exemption. And if your census fluctuated during the reporting year, the HCAHPS participation is still required. Under the home health value-based purchasing program, it talked about what we just talked about in the resources feedback they're seeking. And it just talked about the resources page. CMS reminded folks that the expanded model webpage houses over 30 resources designed to help agencies prepare to implement the expanded model resources, such as webinar recordings, frequently asked questions, a model guide, and monthly newsletters can be instrumental in helping agencies gain an understanding of the expanded model. Most notable is the February FAQs that were posted addressing the transition to OASIS-E and its impact on the home health value-based purchasing program. And they also reminded folks to refresh your home health value-based purchasing webpage to ensure you're viewing the most current updates. So if you haven't been in there frequently or since they've updated the February FAQs, please have a look at that and refresh and see what they've added there. In November and January, CMS made available the pre-implementation performance reports or the PIPERS to all home health agencies. These PIPERS show the agencies how their performance compares to other home health agencies in the assigned volume-based cohort that you're in with the rest of the cohorts in your volume group, including statistics describing the distribution of performance scores. These PIPERS will be available again in April through your IQs. CMS noted that only about 20% of home health agencies across the country have downloaded their PIPERS and have encouraged all home health agencies to review their reports. So if you haven't gotten in and looked at yours, I would encourage you to do so because they're showing you how you are performing against the folks you're competing against. So they're giving you a snapshot of the folks who the pot of money you are working, whose hands are in the same pot of money your hands are in. So if you haven't looked at those PIPERS, I would encourage you to do that. And the last update from the CMS Open Door Forum was on the quality reporting program. The CMS officials announced that the quality only assessments preview reports will be available in April in your IQ's folders. In addition, there are several new publications on the HHQRP website, the final OASIS-E data set instrument and the user's manual are available on the OASIS data sets webpage. The quality measures tables have been updated to reflect the transition to OASIS-E. It can be found on the home health quality measures webpage. The risk adjustment model has also been updated to accommodate OASIS-E. These updates are applied to start of cares and resumption of care assessments with MU90 dates on or after January 1, 2023, and can also be found on the Home Health Quality Measures webpage as well. All right, I'm going to take a quick breath, and Brenda's going to just remind us and walk. Brenda's going to give us a quick reminder of our end of federal public health wind down.
Thanks, Julie. Just a couple of words. In the agenda, there is a link to a document that the association has created outlining the end of the PPE, or the not the PPE, the PHE, and how the waivers that CMS and the federal government had put into place to allow some flexibilities throughout the pandemic will unwind. So you'll maybe want to take a look at that and see, if you are using some of those waivers, how you in what time frame, and what you should be doing to prepare for that, as the end of the PHE has been declared as May 11th. So on May 12th, providers across the nation will be expected to be prepared to return to prior regulatory requirements that were had been waived during the pandemic. So just wanted to provide, and I believe that we talked about this on the last provider call, but just another reminder about telehealth and telecommunications technology that many of you use in your practices. CMS does acknowledge that the use of, those types of technologies can result in changes to the frequency of types of in-person visits that you may have outlined on the patient's care plan. Those types of technologies can include remote patient monitoring, telephone calls, those types of things. But the reminder here is that only in-person visits can be reported on the home health claim. And this is a permanent provision beyond the PHE. So the required face-to-face encounter for home health can be conducted via telehealth. However, that waiver will expire on the 151st day following the end of the federal public health emergency, which makes that Monday, October 9th. So starting Tuesday, October 10th, those face-to-face visits must be completed in person. And I think, Julie, if you've had a moment to take a breath, I'm going to turn it back to you to talk about some upcoming education.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So under the education, the first one there is our ICD-10 coding for home health virtual workshops. So we will be having Lisa Selman-Holman with us again for our virtual two-day workshop coming up on March 22nd and 23rd. She is fabulous with how she teaches coding, because that can be difficult to teach and to catch on to, but she is a very fabulous teacher. So change is the name of coding for 2023. We have new guidance, we have new codes and guidelines effective October 1, 2022, plus changes from the final rule for home health payment systems. So this class will include, we will be starting with an explanation of diagnosis coding and PDGM, the impact of the primary diagnosis and comorbidities on payment calculation and claim submission, and how home health agencies can avoid problems in this area. You'll be exploring the connection between accurately addressing code selections and care planning to reduce hospitalization for your value-based purchasing. Lots going on with all the new changes. So this is up. It can be registered for now, March 22nd, 23rd. It is virtual. Participants must have an ICD-10 coding manual to fully participate, because there are practice scenarios for this activity. You'll log in at 7:50 and it adjourns at 4:30. There's breaks throughout the day. 14 contact hours for nurses, 14 for social services, and 14 for administrators. So it is available for registration. If you have questions on that or can't find it, feel free to let me know on that. We also have our spring quarterly education conference coming up here in March as well. March 28th and 29th at the Hilton Hotel. This does have a full track for home health in it. Our half a day is on March 28th with registration opening at noon, our opening general session at 1 o'clock. That day we conclude at 4 with a welcome reception at 5:30. Day 2 on March 29th. Registration begins at 8. Our first breakout session in our track is with DIA. We have a home health survey update. We will have the new person with us with DIA that day that took over for Mary Beth Freeland. We will have Barb Rasmussen and Hema there as well. They actually are going to be going over IJs and how not to get them. I was actually on a call with DIA, I believe it was last week, and they are working, I believe they said 2 or 3 new IJs right now. I did ask what the IJs were in reference to, but they said they were still working through, actively working those IJs, so they did not let me know even what the tags were under. So that will be a very relevant session right there, because I think we are seeing more and more IJs within home health. So we will have DIA with us in the morning session. We will have a break. We will go into the balancing game of home health value-based OASIS-C utilization and productivity with Annette Lee. In the afternoon, we have understanding the home health survey process. That is with Mary Beth Freeland. She is no longer with DIA, but she will be walking us through the survey process. As you can imagine, she's been the closest to that process, having come from that bureau. And then we will end our day with a panel with all three of the MCOs there. And let's see, EVV for home health. We will have DHS, CareBridge, and the Iowa MCOs, all of them there, so that we can discuss what that will look like going forward. So that ought to be a robust discussion in the room to end our day at Spring Quarterly. So that is up for registration. And that can be registered for one day or for the full 1.5 days. So any questions on that, feel free to reach out as well. But I think that that will be a very good track for everyone there. And then the last link there is our full education calendar, which is always being updated. So feel free to check back frequently as we update that frequently. We'll turn it back to Brandon. It looks like we had just one question, which Brenda has replied to there. I don't see any others unless you've had something come to you, Brandon.
I do just have one that came in. It says, regarding the scheduled termination, this is probably for Brenda. It says, regarding the scheduled termination of the COVID PHE, has anything been communicated about whether the scheduled termination of the COVID PHE impacts the requirements for healthcare workers that have COVID vaccination / exemptions?
So I think the question is regarding the vaccination mandate. And there has not been any change in that, nor do they anticipate any change in that. That question was actually asked on the CMS call that I had last week. And there was not an answer given on what the future of that requirement holds. So certainly keeping an eye on that, and we'll keep you all apprised if anything changes. But at this point in time, that requirement does remain in place. And we will, you know, CMS will continue to expect us to be compliant with that.
Awesome. That is the only one I have in the chat so far. We can pause here. There's always an opportunity to unmute your line if you would like to ask a question verbally too. So I will stop and see if anyone has any questions they'd like to ask that way. Okay. Well, hearing none and seeing no further questions in the chat, I just want to thank everyone for joining us again this month. As always, if you ever have any questions regarding basically anything home health related, we can try to field those at the office here. So feel free to reach out to anyone on staff and we can help you as best as we can. So with that, everyone stay safe out there. It is snowing again here. And have a great rest of your week. Thanks.